So today is also the celebration of the Panihati festival. I'll mention that first. Om Ganatu Dandasha Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurveya Namaha. So this story, I'm not going to tell the whole story because it involves a lot of Raghunath Das Goswami's pastimes. Oh, a brahmachari, a unique creature. So this story illustrates the importance of achieving Lord Nityananda's mercy in order to advance in spiritual life. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can understand Radha and Krishna. So we find in Raghunath Das Goswami's pastimes that first he met with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him, just act as an ordinary businessman, but internally you cultivate your relationship with Radha and Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya described that or compared that to the relationship that a woman would have or a man would have with a paramour. Paramour means an illicit relationship, of course. And so that the woman or a man would act perfectly insofar as their relationship with their husband or wife, just as not to arouse suspicion. So Lord Chaitanya advised Raghunath Das Goswami that. And so Raghunath Das Goswami at that point became a perfect, at least externally, businessman. And there's a story about he extricated his father from, he was in prison, but he extricated himself from prison, extricated his father from problems. And eventually, he kept trying to run away from home, and his father had guards, and his father also had the guard of his beautiful wife, because that was the guard too. And eventually he went to Panihati to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. And when he arrived in Panihati, he was staying some distance away. Lord Nityananda had him brought very close. Lord Nityananda put his feet upon Raghunath Das Goswami's head, and he said, I'm going to give you a fine. And that fine is, you're supposed to conduct this festival for me and my associates. And of course, that was the chip rice festival. There were chip rice and condensed milk, chip rice and yogurt. And there were so many people that came that sometimes the brahmanas had to sit in the river as they were taking their chip rice. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, after that festival, got a chance to give donations to all of Lord Chaitanya's associates and Lord Nityananda's associates. Of course, another thing I mentioned, I forgot to mention, was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came in an unmanifest state for most of the devotees. Some of the devotees did see him to partake in this chip rice festival, and we actually saw. Not we, sorry. Wish I could see. But some of the devotees actually saw Lord Nityananda taking a little bit from each pot and feeding it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was an amazing thing. So because Raghunath Das Goswami got Lord Nityananda's mercy at this particular point, he was able to later on escape and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he stayed with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for more time than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. And as a result of that, he knew more of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, at least the Jagannath Puri pastimes, than any other devotee. And he was able to communicate these pastimes to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and other great devotees who were there. And because of Raghunath Das Goswami's being privy to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are indebted to him for that. In addition, he would recite these pastimes to all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, because when he first went to Vrindavan after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, he was going to jump off of Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. And the other Goswamis understood that's what he was going to do, so they gave him the service of reciting Lord Chaitanya's pastimes every day. And that kept Raghunath Das Goswami in this world. Interesting point. And of course, this is similar to the point I was making yesterday, that if someone has a service, if someone has some responsibility, it keeps them fixed in devotional service. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami was always fixed in devotional service. However, that kept him fixed in staying in this world, because he was feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya. As Prabhupada comments in the fourth canto, part four of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the spiritual master passes away, the disciple should be ready to leave the world with the spiritual master, unless he is able to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. This is the dedication. So now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam to read more about the attraction between men and women, a perfect sannyas class. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 12, text 35. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Skane, Ritasi, So, Apashyat, Atmanam, Deva, Maya, Jarikritam, Ripa, Trishta, Sanya Vartakta, Kashmalat, Skane Ritasi Sopasya Atmanam Deva Maya Yadi Kritam Ripa Shrishta Sanya Vartata Kashmalat Skane Ritasi Sopasya Atmanam Deva Maya Adi Kritam Nripa Shrishta Sanya Vartata Kashmanat Skane Ritasi Sopasya Atmanam Deva Maya Kritam Rupa Shrishta Sanya Vartat Kashmala. Okay.
Skane Ritasi Sopasya
Skane Ritasi Sopasya
Atmanam Deva Maya
Atmanam Deva Maya
Kritam Rupa Shrishta
Kritam Rupa Shrishta Sani Rekasi Sopasya
Atmanam Deva Maya
Skandhe.
When fully discharged.
Ratha-shi. The seventh. Saha.
Lord Shiva.
Apashat.
Saw.
Atmanam. His own self.
Deva-maya.
By the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Jadikritam
had become victimized as a fool.
Nirpa-shreshta,
O best of kings.
Maharaj Parikshit.
Sanyavartata
restrained himself further.
Kachmalat.
From illusion.
Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, when Lord Shiva had fully discharged Semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. You can repeat. O Maharaj Parikshit.
Best of kings.
When Lord Shiva had fully discharged Semen,
he could see how he himself
had been victimized by the illusion
created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Thus he restrained himself
from any further maya.
Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once one is agitated by lusty desires upon seeing a woman, those desires increase more and more, but when semen is discharged in the act of sex, the lusty desires diminish. The same principle acted upon Lord Shiva. He was allured by the beautiful woman, Mohini Murti. But when his semen had been fully discharged, he came to his senses and realized how he had been victimized as soon as he saw the woman in the forest. If one is trained to protect his semen by observing celibacy, naturally he is not attracted by the beauty of a woman. If one can remain a brahmachari, he saved himself so much trouble in material existence. Material existence means enjoying the pleasure of sexual intercourse, Yan Maitunari Burahamedi Sukham. If one is educated about sex life and is trained to protect his semen, he is saved from the danger of material existence. So Svana Yuriktasi So Paschad Atmanam Devamaya Jadikritam Rapashreshta Sanyavartatakashmadat. So Om Ganatya Miranda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's quite a heavy verse and purport. So there's several subject matters here. Of course, one thing is that in the ordinary sense, once one has enjoyed something and let's say the desire diminishes either because of this particular thing where someone discharges semen or one satisfies his hunger and eats too much, then one is thinking, you know, I'm sort of detached from this whole situation. But then the desire arises again. Because the desire for these things does not specifically lie in the gross manifestation. I mean, sometimes people can blame the gross manifestation. I mean, the gross body, that's what I'm talking about. When I talk about a gross manifestation, you know, you're talking about specifically hormones. Hormones means, anyway, I'm not going to describe hormones. Chemicals in your body that are coming from different endocrine glands. You have different hormones. Not only the sexual hormone, you also have the thyroid, which secretes the pituitary. I mean, there's all sorts of different hormones in the body. And so one can blame his hormones for his problem. You know, I have a very lusty body. But actually this lust, or this desire to enjoy the material world, comes from something far more subtle. It's a disease in the heart. And we're not speaking about the gross material heart, we're talking about the subtle heart. And, of course, that's called papabija, the seed of desire. And that seed of desire becomes manifest. Of course, before the papabija, we know from the nectar of devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, there's the kuta, the inclination. And then after the inclination is the papabija, and then there's the action, and there's the parabdha karma, aparabdha karma, etc., etc. And there's aparabdha, then parabdha karma, etc. So it's a whole chain of effects. So the whole point to, if we want to overcome these different desires that are entangling us, bewildering us in the material world, and we're not just talking about sex desire here, there has to be the purification of the heart. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but before that I want to talk a little bit about how Prabhupada said here, if one is educated about sex life and trained to protect his sin, he is saved from the danger of material existence. Now, that not only refers to the attachment to this material world, but to one's own physical health. In the Ayurvedas, it says that if one is engaged in this illicit sex life, we're not talking about illicit, we're in illicit sex life, and he's losing the semen, the bodily fluid, the Ayurveda describes that in the production of this fluid, there's the whole hierarchy that you eat food, it's transformed to this, it's transformed to that, and I don't remember exactly because I'm not an Ayurvedic physician. Ultimately, it's transformed to the semen after blood and everything like that, and Prabhupada described it's like losing gallons of blood. I mean, that's pretty serious, losing gallons of blood. You definitely need a transfusion. So the Ayurveda deals with that particular aspect of the sex life, cautioning people not to engage in unlimited sex life. Of course, sex life for the purpose of procreation is Krishna according to the Bhagavad Gita. Kamasmi, as Krishna says, I am lust, according, as Prabhupada purports in his translation, according to regulative principles. So that's one point. Now, another point, it was very interesting. I was listening to a Prabhupada memory that Sridhar Maharaj was speaking. That is my godbrother Sridhar Maharaj. And he was saying that Prabhupada revealed to him his strategy, his original strategy when Prabhupada first came to America. Prabhupada said to Sridhar Maharaj that when I first came to America, my first strategy was I was thinking I'd make a bunch of sannyasis. Everybody would be a sannyasi. It's interesting, Prabhupada wasn't thinking that so many women would join the Krishna consciousness movement, because Prabhupada had his experience in India. And in India, you know, the women, generally, they're in the homes, in the married, and taking care of the children, and rolling chapatis, which is the main duty of the women. So Prabhupada was thinking, you know, that's what's going to happen in America, that all the women are just chaste wives in America. Little did he know before he came to America that all the women weren't that chaste, nor were they dedicated to their husbands, nor were they dedicated to their fathers, nor were they protected by their sons. But, you know, basically, Prabhupada was projecting what he thought would be the culture. I mean, he had read a lot, but he was shocked when he saw what was actually happening in America. I mean, it's one thing about reading something, but when you actually come in contact with it, it's, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And the Prabhupada said, you know, in his famous poem, Marginal Dharma, that all this population is covered with the lower modes of passion and ignorance, and if you like, you can make the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, affect their hearts. If you like, you can make me dance. You know, famous poem. So Prabhupada revealed, he said, that was my first strategy. But then, when I saw that, you know, people did have that attraction, or couldn't restrain from that attraction, he said, my next strategy, this is such an interesting, perhaps even a little humorous, Prabhupada said, my next strategy was to get everybody married and send the wives to Vrindavan and let the husbands take sannyas and preach. And then Prabhupada said, that strategy didn't work either. And then Prabhupada said, well, then the next strategy was to get everybody married or working for Krishna and then preaching Krishna consciousness. And you see, that was an effective strategy. It's interesting, you see, the Prabhupada developed his strategy. Prabhupada was extremely flexible. Some people say that we should just do exactly as Prabhupada did. And they may criticize when we have some flexibility in preaching to the Western world or preaching in China. You know, in China they have Chinese instruments and Chinese dress and Chinese type of prasadam and chopsticks. You know, Prabhupada never used chopsticks. How could we use chopsticks? Because that's against Prabhupada's instructions, right? It's interesting. But actually, Prabhupada's example was flexibility, too. In addition, you know, to sticking to the principles, but it was also flexibility presenting Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada did something that is was not done by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, is that he sent couples to London, you know, three couples to London to start the Krishna consciousness movement. And they were successful. I mean, their whole plan in the beginning, of course, was to meet George Harrison. And if you read this book by Shama Shundra, it's very interesting how they met George Harrison. They were baking an apple cake and delivering it to Apple Records practically every day. And finally, you know, they went to some sort of performance. Oh, yeah. That Shama Shundra wanted to go to this big program where George Harrison, the Beatles, would be there. And they wouldn't let him in. And finally, Yoko Ono, you know, said to him, all right, come in. And then he went in and they met George Harrison. Anyway, so Prabhupada developed his strategy like that, which is interesting. Prabhupada was very flexible according to time, place, and circumstance. So, that's another point. One has to be practical. As Prabhupada said, utility is the principle in spreading Krishna consciousness. Books are the basis, purity is the force, utility is the principle. The famous quote from Srila Prabhupada. So, anyway, so how does one deal with these lusty desires? We talked a little bit yesterday about some external means of dealing with the tendency to deviate from Krishna consciousness, to succumb to the senses and the sense objects. And what we talked about yesterday was taking some responsibility, being fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. So there's more to it than that. Because I was just speaking yesterday on the tip of the iceberg or externally. Because one really has to engage their mind in Krishna consciousness. It's not simply engaging the body, because your body can be engaged in Krishna consciousness and your mind can be contemplating sense objects at the same time. So even if you do have a full-time engagement, you do have responsibility, you may not be feeling satisfied unless you engage your mind in Krishna consciousness. So how does one engage their mind? Of course, we have different methods. A prophet one time was asked, how do you deal with lust? Because here we're talking about lust. Lust in general, lust towards the opposite sex, lust towards other sense objects. And Prabhupada said, the way you conquer Mr. Lust, Prabhupada gave it lust is sort of like a personality, and he is a person. That's Cupid. Cupid is not only like men-women type attraction, but anything. His arrows are actually the objects of the senses. Not only, you know, the senses in terms of men and women, or men and men, or whatever you're talking about, but in terms of any object of the senses. So his five arrows are, you know, form, taste, smell, touch, etc. So Prabhupada said the way to cure Mr. Lust is to engage in deity worship. Now, I found that quite interesting. And, you know, why would that cure Mr. Lust? Or get rid of Mr. Lust? We don't want to cure him, we want to get rid of him. Or cure our problem of lust, or lust disease. So I was thinking, why does this cure lust? The reason it does, first of all, is you see the beautiful form of Krishna. As Rupa Goswami stated, that if you all want to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see this smiling boy, Govinda, who's playing his flute on the banks of the Keshi Ghat. So you see the beautiful form of Krishna. Just like I was at Mangalarti this morning, I was just seeing how beautiful Krishna is, and he has this beautiful smile, and Radharani has this beautiful smile. Wow. And, of course, many times we've given that example and story, but I can tell the whole story, how Sripad Ramanujacharya cured this Dhanardas from lust by showing him the beautiful face of the deity. Previously, this Dhanardas was worshipping his girlfriend like a deity. He was walking backwards as his girlfriend was walking forwards and fanning her with a chamara. I mean, it was just like he was having a Rath Yatra with his girlfriend. It's called a trophy girlfriend, a trophy wife. So Ramanujacharya just took him in front. I could show you someone with more beautiful eyes than your girlfriend. And this man said, wow, show her to me. And he showed him Varada Dharaja, and maybe it was in Sri Rangam or in Kanchi. But anyway, he's showing the face of the deity. And therefore the man became detached, got married, became a good grihastha, became more renounced than the brahmacharis by seeing the form of the deity. So that's one way. Another way is just the actual service itself. How one is thinking of pleasing the deity. One takes the position, basically, it's almost like a paternal relationship that the pujari has with the deity. Paternal means you're thinking, you know, oh, Krishna must eat. Krishna must be cold, so let's put a heater in his room. Just like I installed this heater that's on the wall there. I did that myself. Proud of it. So I was thinking the deity must be cold. And then I was worried, but they're putting other heaters there. And there may be a fire because of the other heat. You know, all this was going through my mind. That there may be a fire because, you know, these portable heaters sometimes cause fires. So let me put something that's safe on the wall. So I did my research on the internet, went Googled, Amazoned it, to coin a new word. And I came with the heater and I put it on myself. And that's deity worship too. Although it may seem that I was just acting as a Shudra. But it helped me overcome my own desire to stay warm and take care of my body. When you see it, it's paternal. You understand? Paternal? Paternal means like mother, father. You know, we want to protect Krishna. And sometimes I'm looking at the, you know, so I'm not even on the altar most of the time. The only time I go on the altar, basically, the only time they let me go on the altar is Janmashtami night, when I can do the one arti I'm allowed to do a year. So, you know, I'm looking at protecting the deities and talking about the cameras here. So all these other things are actually part of deity worship. Or cleaning the floor, making sure the floor is clean in the temple room. In this way, it takes us away from the selfishness, which is basically at the root cause of lust. Because the root cause of lust is the false ego, I and mine, you know, the selfishness. I am the center, so many things are mine. Instead, I'm thinking everything belongs to Krishna. This temple is Krishna. It's not my temple. It's Krishna's temple. And even whatever paraphernalia I have, like, you know, let's say the mobile phones or something like that, this belongs to Prabhupada, to Krishna. And so in this way, it helps me overcome the desire to enjoy this material world. So other ways too, because this is in the mind. This is what I'm talking about right now. That not simply doing things externally, but having the right consciousness. That Krishna is the king. Radha Gopinanda, the king here. And before I go on a trip, I go see the deities, get their blessings, and all this keeps me centered that my whole point is to give Krishna enjoyment. Other things that we can do to keep our mind from being attracted to these lusty desires, they said it's not just the physical thing. Of course, one devotee one time wrote a book, The Joy of No Sex. I don't know if you ever read that book. And, you know, he advocated certain things like, you know, putting ice cubes around yourself before you go to sleep at night or something like that. Wild. I mean, of course, if you eat too much, you do become more lusty, but it's not a physical thing. It's in the mind. The lust is in the mind. If you can conquer the lust in the mind, then the other things externally go automatically. So another thing you should do is read regularly Prabhupada's books. And you read regularly Prabhupada's books, you're reminded of your goal in life. Not only that, but you're getting this bhakti shakti. Because with the bhakti, you get happiness. We hear about this in the Gita. What is it? Raso Varjam Raso Plesha Param Drishrani Vartate. By having a higher taste, one is fixed in consciousness. So this higher taste comes from having bhakti. Bhakti comes from coming in contact with a pure devotee. It doesn't come from Krishna directly. It comes from the pure devotee. So when you hear, you read the words of a pure devotee, the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead become implanted in your heart. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata, the Joshana Dashu Apavargavart Mani, Shradavatir Bhakti Anukramishati, is Lord Kapiladeva's statement. That it enters from the ear, the lotus words of a pure devotee enter from the ears, they go to the heart, and then the loving sentiments become aroused. And when one is in love with Krishna, and that means in love with Krishna's service, in love with serving the deities, in love with all the different aspects of Krishna consciousness, then the other things recede into the background. It's like if one focuses, Ekeha Kurunandana, if one focuses the camera lens, it's called bokeh. No one's ever heard about that before. We're not talking about a bokeh of flowers. It's B-O-K-E-H. That's a word, new word for all of you. That means, a bokeh means, it's funny. A bokeh means when everything else goes out of focus except for your main point that you're looking at. That's what it's called. That's why you have to have a good camera. In a bad camera, everything's out of focus or everything's in focus. But in a good camera, you can focus on the deity's face or the deity. And everything else is just like blurry. And then you just see the deity. It's actually very, very nice. Professional photographers always use, not always, but generally use this when they're doing photography. So when you're having so much happiness or higher taste, or you're focused, on your goal of life, then you're experiencing that bokeh phenomena. Everything else goes out of focus. You know, there's some beautiful girl there, or some handsome Rambo, whatever. Terminator, Rambo, whatever, you know. Arnold Schwarzenegger. But if you're, and you don't even see him, you don't even see the beautiful girl or the handsome young man or the plate of tasty boga that's there. You don't see it because you're just so much absorbed. So we read regularly. And then, while another final point I want to make, which I've been making a lot of my classes lately, while we're doing our devotional service, be aware of why you're doing what you're doing. And when you're chanting, be aware of the meaning of the chanting. Be aware that Krishna is manifest in his holy name. I mean, this morning, for example, in Mangalarti, we were chanting the, or we, or I, or whatever, we were chanting the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. You know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And while I was chanting that, I was doing my best, and I somehow, or today I can remember a little bit, that every time you mentioned the name of one of the members of the Panchatattva, that person was there with you. That's pretty interesting. Every time you say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's manifest there. He's there, 100%. Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Chaitanya, Nityananda, Lord Nityananda is right there. Wow! Advaita Acharya is right there. Gadadha, Srimati Radharani appearing in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, exhibiting a little bit different bhav. But still, Gadadha and Srivas, Narada Muni is there. Wow! And when you think like that, devotional service, every moment becomes a wow moment. You understand? Satori, as they say in Buddhism. But every moment is like that, and so there's no question of thinking of anything else. So that's really how we deal with this. It's not simply a physical thing. If it was a physical thing, then as soon as one would have some satisfaction, or like described here, discharging semen, the desire would be over. But then it awakens again. It awakens again. So then we become engaged in Purnak Purnas Charvita Charvada. Now I'm chewing the already chewed. Okay, so any questions or comments? We have about 30 seconds left to class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? Yes?
Just one comment. I mean, that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But I was thinking one thing that kicks in the high gear, in addition to reading, is then discussing that with the other devotees.
Yes.
I think your verse also kind of mentions that for some young from the bottom.
Yeah.
In association. It really absorbs, I just know it really absorbs me when we're talking about, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you for mentioning that. Satam prasangam mama viri samana. It means in the association of devotees. Then it enters into the heart. That's a very important point that you just mentioned. That is essential. Okay. On that happy note, all glory is to Srila Bhagavan.